Welcome to Latinas Be Like Us again. I'm so excited to have Kim Flo. Kim is an Ecuadorian and a millennial, and she has a lot of exciting things to share with us today. Before I get into it, if you're interested to learn more about Latinas Be Like Us, and if you want to leave a donation, you can visit latinasbelikeus.com. We are everywhere. We're on Instagram. We are on Facebook, on TikTok, and we continue to grow. Kim, let's talk about you. How's it going?
Yeah, good, Velu. Thank you so much for having me. I'm like super excited. Like I was telling you before, like I feel like we this is the first time we kind of talk, but I feel like we've been following each other through like TikTok, and you know, we just comment constantly in each other's like content and supporting each other. And I feel like we already know, like sort of like, hey girl, like we just talked yesterday, right? It's
like, exactly. It's like, oh yeah, I saw you yesterday.
Yeah, and I think like that's the beauty of like social media and building a community, right? Like that, because a lot of people, you can have followers, right? You can just people like here and there, but when you genuinely and intentionally create community, I think this is what you get, right? Like supporters, right? Now, and friends eventually, because I have people online that now they're my friends and you will never think that. And, exactly. And it's just a beautiful thing. But but yeah. So to answer your question, just to talk about me, okay, who am I? I mean, that's a question that I still trying to discover, right? But for now, so my name is Kim Perales, but everyone knows me and calls me Kim Flo. That's why I have that as my nickname on all my social channels. And like you said, I'm a millennial immigrant from Ecuador. I was born and raised there, came to the United States when I was 17. So I did most of my schooling there, and then I did college and so on here in the United States. And now this is my place, you know, for now. And during the day, I am a marketing manager. And I like to say during my free time, I'm a content creator, but I feel like I'm always creating content. So I was like, that's like who I am, you know, like, yeah. I'm constantly creating content. So it's a full-time thing. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Chisme That Matters. And I created this podcast with intention of having like mindful conversations like this one, because I feel that a lot of people see chisme, right, as like a negative word, as a negative thing. And I want to redefine that and see it as a form of communication and also a form of healing. Because you think about it, if we're chismeando about the right things, about things that matter, it's like it could be healing.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it, Kim. I mean, let's break this conversation, because there's so much to unpack.
Yeah.
So how about, I want to start from your journey to the United States. How was that? Did you adapt quickly, or did you have a hard time, you know, just adjusting to the US? And how do you see that journey from when you were 17 till now?
Yeah. That's a really good question. So I think, you know, so I was born there, like came to the United States when I was very little, like maybe a year old, lived here for a few years, but I don't remember much. But then going to Ecuador, that's my home, right? That's like where I was born, let's say. And the transition between living there and here, I don't want to say it was rough. I think I was more like in survival mode, you know, and you don't know that until later on when you start doing therapy and all that. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, like, how did I do all of that, right? Like, you, at such a young age. So, you know, my parents stay in Ecuador, my siblings too. I came and I lived with my aunt, and obviously they lived here, so they didn't really know me. So it was just like a little bit of a struggle. You know, they tried their best, but they were very overprotective. And I wasn't used to that back at home, because my parents were divorced. So my mom was really working all the time. So I became like the parent of my siblings too, right? So that's like a whole nother topic that we could talk about at some point. But so I became that. So I was very independent. So coming here, I was like, oh, I have to do things on my own too. But that wasn't the case. Like, they were very, so they didn't think that I was capable, maybe, or like I said, they were just overprotective. So I had a lot of like, you know, bumping heads. And at some point I left the house, and I started because I didn't know where to go. I lived in this independent living program, which is a program provided by the state where they place kids that they're like in, you know, like not in the streets, but you know, they're in shelters and then in the system, and they put them in this program so they can, you know, become these adults. And, you know, they have to work, they have to go to school. It's just that they give them like an apartment, but you live with other four people or five people, whatever the size of the place is. So that was an experience for me because I never done that before. I never lived alone, and I was 18 years old or 19, 17, I forgot. But that was a really crucial experience for me because it helped me to become the person who I am today, right? So the program, when I enter, it was out of luck because usually you have to be in the system to be placed there. But one day I was telling my best friend in the bus about, you know, what was happening with my aunt. They were like very stressing me out, blah, blah, blah. They wanted to send me back to Ecuador. It was like a whole thing. And I wasn't even doing anything. Like I was very good. I was just very social, and I like to be part of like student government, this and that. And they thought that was going to like kind of like derail me from my studies, you know, like parents think that way. So it was a lot. So I was telling my friend and then another friend that I used to know in the bus, like she heard and she lived in the program. So she's like, hey, listen, I didn't mean to over here, but I heard this so I could get you maybe in a place. I did the interview, the program, they accepted me. And I was like, wow, you know, and it was me and then two other girls, and two girls left a little. And then after that, I was by myself for the whole apartment. And then little by little, new girls started coming out, but it was just that whole thing. And, you know, they gave you food because the things like the apartment was in a building where they have another shelter, like for kids. So the food that they give to the shelter, sometimes they give it to us. So, you know, it was nice. Sometimes the food was good, sometimes not, but they gave you like groceries too. Everything was paid. Everything was paid. You just have to go to school, work. Yeah. Yeah. It was a really good program. So it also helped me to save a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah. So it was good. So that you had a social worker, you know, every week to help to see how you're doing, you know. So it was pretty good. It was good.
So let me ask you this: how did your aunt and I guess family members reacted to that news that you were leaving?
Yeah,
what happened there, girl?
So that's a good question because now a lot of people ask that question. So that was la tercera guerra mundial. You know, it was kind of like I think telling them, if I was 14 years old and pregnant type of thing, right? So the reason why I decided to go in the program was because I spoke with my mom in Ecuador and she gave me her blessing. She was like, I trust you. I know you're a good person. And she's like, it's not that she didn't want me to go back, but we had a plan. Like I was supposed to do my studies here, you know, the American dream. So she's like, if I trust you, go for it. So I was like, my mom gave me my blessing. I'm going to do it.
So your mom was fine with it. Your mom was fine. But your mom's. So did she get any heat from it? Like, did she get any heat from like.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they call her. I'm sure. I haven't even asked her. I'm going to ask her after this conversation.
You should. You should.
Yeah. I never asked her because there was so much going on. And then eventually you just go with life. Right. But my grandparents called me. My dad called me. I'm sure my dad called my mom to tell her all these things. My aunts thought that I was going to live in a shelter. Right. And for, you know, in our families, doing things like that, como que, ay, el que dirá la gente.
El que dirán. Uh-huh. El que dirán.
El que dirán, like, oh my God, you're going to go to a shelter, que vergüenza, type of thing. Like, you shouldn't, you know. And that's why they wanted to send me back. But I was just like, I'm an adult already. Like, I could just go. And it was very stressful just to leave because I was like, I know that I'm going to break somehow that relationship. But honestly, I guess they saw how well I was doing and how well I was carrying myself by myself that now we're like this. My aunts are like my best friends. Like, it's That's so awesome. Crazy. It's amazing. Awesome. Yeah. 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 I think we needed that. And so I kind of broke the cycle, I guess, like for my siblings when they came because they're like, these kids are fine. You know what I mean? Like, and it's funny.
So are you the oldest?
Yes, I am the oldest. Okay. I'm the oldest of everything, like the grandchild, like niece, you know. So yeah,
so you have a huge responsibility.
Girl, yeah, I had a huge, so it was kind of like I had to set the example, you know. So, you know, when you grow up, especially in our culture, it's kind of like certain things are not seen well, even when they're good, right? And like leaving the house at 18, okay? You leave the house when you're married, pretty much. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, that's right. In Latin culture, like Latinos, like you're like, you wait until you're like, they will, like from the house, will take you to the altar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that, you know, so, you know, they thought probably I was going to get pregnant. I'm the one that doesn't have kids. You know, I'm like, it's like, I just prove everything like they would thought that it would be. It's kind of like, no. So I feel like that was a very pivotal, like, experience and moment in my life, because I got to prove myself. I got to prove my family, kind of give them like the sacacheta, you know, like the little slap, right? Kind of like, I told you it was going to be fine, right?
You also mentioned Kediran. And you have a podcast also, but oh my gosh, like, so let's focus on the content and your content about El Kediran. ¿Por qué? Why El Kediran? Why did you want to focus on that?
Yeah, I love that question. I think like, so I feel like my whole life, even though I have done things like in a different way, I still feel that I always I was always thinking, what will this person think, right? Like, oh, how will they feel, right? And I feel that now I'm discovering this in my 30s, that I have stopped myself from doing a lot of things, even when I've been like very, you know, I guess like fearless in that way, you know, I don't know. Even that, I have stopped myself from doing a lot of things because I always, in the back of my head, it's like, oh, what would they think? Or what would they feel? Or how people would perceive me if I do this and I set boundaries and things like that, right? So now I think like getting to know myself a little bit more and exploring myself more in my 30s, I think that I realized that I have stopped myself from that. And then I'm just like, you know what? A lot of people do the same. And like as much as I love creating content, I consume it as well. And I see a pattern, a lot of like, especially women that say like, oh, I want to do this. But like, I am like, this is the whole thing that I don't know why, but I love reading comments. Like I read comments on YouTube. I love reading comments just because I like how to analyze how people think, right? And I'm just like, it could be the cutest video ever. People are going to say something. There's always going to be one person criticando. There's always going to be criticones. So I feel like because people know that, they stop themselves from like creating, right? Like, let's talk about creating content, right? Because that's where I am, right? So I'm like, sometimes tell people like, but why don't you do it? She's like, ah, oh, me da vergüenza. Like, I feel, I'm like, for what? Why? Like, because people are going to think, it's like, yeah, you know. And I was just like, who cares? Like, really, who cares? Because those people who criticize, honestly, they do it because they can't do it themselves.
It's a reflection of their own insecurities. And their own limits, the own limits that they put themselves,
yeah,
on themselves.
They put it on themselves, or they're just very like miserable. They just miserable for any reason. It could be anything happening in their life, and like they just want to let it out on someone. And that someone happens to be you because you're creating content, right? And you're being out there. Like they see that you're exploring, that you're expressing yourself, and they cannot do that. So they're angry because they cannot do it themselves. Yes. So obviously they're going to say something. So for me, like being an advocate, I guess, like of like ditching el que dirán, it's so important because I've been there, and I want to see other people just flourishing, just doing their thing, just being happy and just doing it and just being genuinely happy. That's the thing, because people sometimes say I'm happy, but are you like actually, like have you really let everything out? You know, so it's just like, living in your most authentic self, I think, is so relieving. It's so free.
When did you have that realization of like, you know what? Like, I'm going to do it for myself too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been creating content for a while. Like, I feel like, you know, just I love being on camera. For me, every time like I'm able to create content, like I put my camera and I start recording, I feel free. I love it. Like I could have a stressful day at work, but once I do that, I forget about everything. And that's just I realized that now that's one of my passions. That's it, period. Like I love it. And it's not so much about the followers. It's not so much. I just love it.
What do you want people to take away from this conversation?
Wow. In a nutshell.
That's like, I know, that's hard, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think like, I see myself as someone who, you know, I'm in my 30s and I'm trying to just like navigate life and enjoy life at this age, you know, because I feel like a lot of us, sometimes we cannot stop ourselves from like doing things like in our early age because we have responsibilities, you know? So I feel like I'm living, I feel like I'm in my 20s, to be honest. And I was like, oh, 30, you know, I'm 36. And I'm just here like, I feel like I'm in my 20s. And like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, I even look like, not for nothing, but people that tell me that I look younger. So I'm just like, I just feel that way. So I just think like we should all do things that we love, you know? And even if we have fear, let's just do things with fear. Like, that's one of my mottos now. I'm like, because that had helped me with what my experience. I'm like, I'm going to do everything with fear. Tengo miedo, pero lo voy a hacer. Like, boom. You know, it's perfect. Kind of like, yeah, that's it. So do it perfect. With fear.
Perfect. Do it with fear. Do what you love and keep going. Mm-hmm. I love that. Kim, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing all of your story with us. And I can't wait to see more content and all the beautiful things that you're doing.
Thank you, Vero. Thank you. I appreciate the space. I think I needed to talk.
This was great.